ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone and welcome back to everyone's favourite podcast, Failing Better, with me, Johnny Pelham,
and... Me, Sean McLaughlin.
And together, we are...
Failing Better! Good to be back, isn't it, Johnny?
Good to be back on everyone's favourite podcast.
I think that's a really good tagline.
Yeah.
Everyone's favourite podcast.
The sad thing about that is it also includes... the sort of terrible people, but I guess, you know, when you're as funny as us, when you're as broad and funny as us, you're going to sweep up a few of the dregs of society.
That's going to happen, you know. We're a favourite of Ted Cruz, but we're also a favourite of the Pope.
Tom Cruise.
From Ted Cruz to Tom Cruise, we're everyone's favourite podcast.
We're on every yacht going.
Oh, God. Anyway, good to be back, listeners. Twice in 1 week. This proves that we mean business, I think. Don't you think?
We mean business. We're going to the top, and we're not going to stop until we're there.
Yeah, we're never going to stop.
We're never going to stop.
Because we're never going to reach the top.
Yeah. Or until we get a bit in and think, God, we're both knackered and stop for a bit again.
Yeah, I mean, that could also happen. I think we forgot to mention in our first comeback episode that we have a new theme tune. So we should say, listeners, don't cancel that doctor's appointment. Cancel that ear analysis.
Do you think how many people even got ear analysis after hearing different sound tracks?
I think they called up their GP and they went, I need an ear analysis.
Stat.
Because I've been listening to Failing Better and it sounds like they've got a new theme tune, but that can't be true because they never mentioned it.
But now we've mentioned it, you can cancel those. Let's ease the strain on the NHS.
I mean, the amount of strain that we're giving them. First of all the people asking for mental health because we stopped the podcast. Then we bring it back. And we're immediately gaslighting them with this new theme tune.
We're a complex podcast, but you just have to jump on board. That's why we're everyone's favourite podcast.
That's what Ted Cruz. That's what the Cruises like about us is our complexity. They can never sit still with us.
Do you think Ted Cruz and Tom Cruise are related in spite of their surnames being differently spelled? I think they are. I think the Ted Cruz and Tom Cruise are related.
It would explain Ted Cruz's bitterness and sort of just utter contempt for the human race if he was like Tom Cruise's loser brother. Like, oh, I wish I was as good looking as Tom.
I want to see that film. Because Ted Cruz could become the president of America. And it'd be funny if that was, like, Tom Cruise sort of overshadowed him at school. And eventually Ted Cruz became the president of America and ruined America.
I don't think Ted Cruz is becoming the president.
Ted Cruz is the most pathetic man. Because didn't Trump, like, insult his wife?
Yeah.
And then he was, like, sucking his ass later on in the election.
If Trump, you're welcome to insult my wife all you want, but I'm going to stand up to you, okay? Yeah. And we're your favourite podcast.
Yeah, we're Trump's favourite podcast. Trump... you've got to change some of your policies, man. Why are you so hateful? Why not build a wall? Build some love. Or build massive speakers pumping out Failing Better to America in the prisons.
Look, listen, Trump, we will back you if you agree to just build massive speakers to go in the prisons and pump out Failing Better.
You want to get immigrants out of America 24/7 feeling better. No one's... The Mexicans will get straight back to Mexico.
Yeah. Also, pump it in Guantanamo Bay. Think of the confessions that you'll get.
Yeah, it was me.
It was all me.
I'm Bin Laden.
I'd like to think that American counterintelligence is... I mean, I know America's a pretty dumb country in many ways. I'd like to think they're not so dumb as to get random people in Guantanamo Bay and ask them if they're Bin Laden. Confess. But you already killed Bin Laden. Confess.
How much... I think I'd confess to anything under torture. I mean, that's why it doesn't work, isn't it? Because I would say anything. Like, if they were like, where's the bomb? And I'd know where the bomb is. I'd be like, it's under the White House. You got to get there. Like, I'd just lie about everything.
It's under the White House. Where's the bomb? It's under the White House. They don't just let you go then.
I think they do.
You say that, they just let you go. It's like, all right, well, in that case, on your pop.
How do you think you'd do under torture, Sean?
I honestly, I think I'd be I'd die of shock even just by looking at someone who's about to torture me. So I think I'd probably fare well because I would just die so quickly.
Yeah, that's a skill in a way. That's a skill. That's a helpful skill.
They definitely can't teach that. They definitely can't teach that.
No, your cowardice is natural, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm watching this TV show at the minute, and it's all about spies and like counter and like people getting caught.
What's it called? Spies.
It's all about spies. I'm watching The Americans. Have you ever watched The Americans?
I haven't. No.
It's bloody good.
Is it good?
But it's like it makes being a spy look like a horrible, horrible life.
I'm sure it is too. And also because like the hardest thing about being a spy, I think, is that you couldn't tell people you're a spy, which is a clearly very cool job. And I'd be like, look, I know I'm saying I'm an accountant, but I'm really a spy. I just have to. It's so cool. Yeah. I'd have to tell someone.
Yeah, it is weird that when you go, yeah, I can't. I literally can't tell you my job.
Yeah, and then your job, you have to fade into the background. So your job would have to be something boring, like accountant. Or
in this show, they're travel agents.
Yeah, exactly.
That's their front. Is their travel agents? To me, that's a very exciting job.
Would you like to be a travel? You can be a travel agent.
Meet holiday goers. Yeah, if you really wanted a boring job, you'd say I'm a podcast host. To be honest.
I think this is the most enjoyable job I've ever had in my life.
Well, look, all I'm saying... I'm not saying that me and Johnny are actually spies, but...
I think my sister might be a spy. Have I talked about this on the podcast
before?
That is an
absolutely enormous thing to drop at this stage of what has been a pretty middling episode of Failing Better. Johnny, I think we're about to take this episode to the top of the iTunes charts. Your sister is a spy?
Can I just say, let's hope this isn't the one that goes wildly popular in case she is a spy.
Do you want to save this chat for the Patreon?
I don't. I don't. I think there's 80% chance she isn't a spy, but there's a small. She's just always. She's
80.
She's a math. She isn't though.
That means there's a 20% chance she is a spy.
Well, she studied maths, and then she's now. She's always in like geopolitical. She's like studies. She teaches abroad at like private schools, and she's always at hot spots, like around the world. She was in Hong Kong. Just before it went. Then she went to Yemen just when they thought the king was going to die. And there was loads of fear about like British influence
Jesus Christ.
Ending in Yemen. Then she is in China over COVID. And then now she's in Egypt. Admittedly, nothing I know of is happening in Egypt. But still, it's still a geopolitical...
Yeah, it's the COP27s there.
Is it?
Yeah, are you not aware of that? The biggest climate change thing is happening in Egypt right now.
I actually don't believe in climate change. If you want the world to get a bit colder, just open a fridge.
Well, let's hope that her spy training is better at deflection than her brother's. But I think she does sound like she could be a spy. I'm not. Is she like is she in very good physical condition?
She's not. But I imagine most spying isn't actually... I think most of it's probably just, like, setting up little computers now. And then, like... You know what I mean? Like,
how does she take her martinis? Do you ever make her martinis?
All the time.
Martini. And what does she say? How does she have it?
Well, she doesn't... She'd normally prefer something like a margarita. So if I made
a pizza?
Yeah. Yeah, if I say, what drink do you want tonight? She said, I'll have a margarita pizza, please.
I'll have a full margarita pizza straight in the blender. Pop it down the garlic.
A night out's mad. She has eight of them. She's absolutely wild.
Does she have it shaken, not stirred? I suppose that's the point I was trying to get across.
Yeah, I think most shaken... Yeah, yeah. Most people do that, though, don't
they? Okay, well, that's a... I'm just going to write a note of this, Johnny. That's a... big tick in the old she's a spy column.
Yeah, yeah.
How does she introduce herself if she meets... Like, if I was to meet her, would she be like... Would she be
Pelham,
like,
oh, Catherine Pelham.
It's Pelham.
And she gets invited to every single James Bond screening, the premieres. I've never really thought about that before, but she does get every single James Bond screening she's invited.
Do you think that it's only spies get to go to James Bond screenings? Do you think it's like a training video for them?
I imagine they send a few spies. It's like, well done, you're doing really well. Go to the premiere of James Bond. You foiled another coup. Go to see James Bond.
You've taken down another cyber terrorist who has inexplicable links to your past life. Congratulations. As a result, you get to go watch No Time to Die.
No, thank you.
I'd rather watch Despicable Me 2. All right. Okay. All right. We need to go over this a bit more. So she does that. Does she... I'm trying to think of other things that James Bond does. I don't really like James Bond.
She regularly has sex with and then treats models horribly.
Mm. Do you ever like look over at her?
Yeah.
And just sort of for no apparent reason, she's just sort of walking in like a white circle. She's just in a white circle in a pitch black room.
My whole childhood.
You go, "Oi, Catherine," and she tells you how she shoots you right in the face.
My whole childhood. It was a nightmare. And her car has got an eject seat. Found that out the hard way. Just on the M62 in a motorway. What does this button do? Whoa!
If she's a spy, then you are like the worst spy brother.
I'm like Johnny English. We're both spies. I'm Johnny English. She's James Bond. She's Catherine
I think
Bond.
He, I think she... I'm not... Genuinely, I'm not joking. She does sound like she could be a spy. Because what does she tell you her job is? That she's a tutor?
Maths teacher. They don't have maths in Egypt.
Don't even know what maths is.
Doesn't add up.
This is an incredible. Can we get her on the pod?
I don't. She's not. I don't think. I mean, I think either way, she won't be keen to talking about this.
It'd be a good. It'd be good to know how susceptible she is to torture.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
Imagine if she is a spy. Imagine if she's not a spy, but someone in Egypt government hears about this and tortures her, thinking she might be a spy.
Well, he's a bit of a despot, that bloke in Egypt, isn't he? He's not a nice boy.
He's not a good egg. Do you think that could happen? I'm slightly worried now that I might get my sister tortured.
Well, look, we are everyone's favourite podcast. But away from that, cards on the table. I don't think... I mean, how many world leaders do you think listening to this podcast?
I'd be shocked if it was anything under than 50. I mean, I'm including Obama and Clinton in that, so they're not real leaders anymore, are they? So maybe a few... Blair's always emailing in, isn't he?
Blair emails in. Failing betterpod@gmail.com?
Yeah.
So you too can email in. You don't have to be a world leader, but we do take your emails less seriously unless you've been in charge of what I would describe as, well, one of the G20. I mean, really, that's what we're after. Yeah.
You know, like, obviously we will respond if you're like Switzerland's leader, but we're not responding as fast as we are to Putin. I mean, we're straight back to Putin.
Yeah.
Saying, please stop.
Putin's on the highest tier of our Patreon.
That's so high you can't actually access it. You know, you have to have a secret. You have to have one of those like black cards, or you know, like MasterCard or whatever it is.
Yeah.
An American black.
He's basically paying us in nuclear warheads.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone. Maybe that's why my sister's been hanging around me recently. She's trying to get the scope on what Putin's doing.
Maybe that's how Putin discovered it. Is one of the KGB agents kidnapped your sister, tortured her, and went, "Oh, don't look at my Spotify." And he goes, "Oh, it's feeling better. Listen to it." And went, "Oh, it must be code for something."
It's interesting you think that Russian generals are meerkats. I like that.
Tell me, do you have any cheaper car insurance? That's fucking cool that your sister's a spy. How do you become a spy? Isn't it still like they approach you like at uni or something?
I think you can apply. I generally think you can apply.
Must be.
But I guess there also will be... They probably do approach you at like Oxford or Cambridge or something.
What, you didn't? Your sister went to...
No, she went to Glasgow.
But she went to McGill in...
She Montreal, did. Yeah, she did. Yeah, yeah.
See, that's like Canadian Oxford, isn't it?
I think it's pretty good. I don't know how good, but I think it's
pretty
good.
And it's Commonwealth, so there'd have been agents of the Crown knocking about McGill, definitely.
Wow, so it's exciting. So yeah, my sister's a spy. Don't tell anyone. Listeners, right, look, I've taught you in confidence here. Do not tell anyone else my sister's a spy.
That is such a good angle for a podcast. Why why are we doing this one that used to be self-help? This could be bigger than my dad wrote a porno. My sister's a spy is better.
But the thing is, my dad wrote a porno with a lot of content based on the porno, but I don't think we have much content. I could Skype with my sister every week. And then
secretly record it, release it for commercial use.
Yeah, yeah. So
cause an international incident. This feels like a shit comedy from like the 90s.
My sister's a spy.
Yeah. The dopey spy's brother. Boop, boop.
Dopey, what do you mean? Do you mean the handsome? I would be the handsome heartthrob. My sister would be the spy who's sort of fine. And, then I save the day. That's...
How old is your sister?
She is 34.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Same age as old Sean McLaughlin, actually.
Really? I always think you're my age, but you're not. You're much older.
I'm not much older. How old are you? You're 31, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so much older.
It's quite old. It's like quite a lot older. 3 years of life.
I suppose so. I've not really packed much into those 3 years. I'm still leading what is effectively a 22-year-old's existence.
I find it amazing that I'm an adult. You know what I mean? Like I think if I was 20 now, I'd think, yeah, I need to grow up. I need to get my shit together pretty soon.
I actually did some very adult things yesterday. I'll talk about it.
What did you do?
Johnny, for the first time in my life, I bought slippers. I bought a bathrobe. I bought a dressing gown. I bought two dressing gowns yesterday, Johnny.
That's
Do you have
mad.
Any fucking idea?
What made you get two? Were you thinking you wanted to be like Hugh Hefner?
No, I basically... Well, I bought a bathrobe and a dressing gown, so I don't know. But I have a feeling that the bathrobe I bought is actually a dressing gown.
Bought a bathrobe, a dressing gown, and a pornography magazine.
A pornography magazine. And I bought a disgruntled palace.
And you bought a hell of a lot of lawsuits, I imagine. So that's exciting. So you're wandering around the house in your robe now.
I've never, ever, ever allowed myself to indulge in these sort of comforts in my life. That was always a joke about me, like at uni when I had house shares and stuff, is I never wore like casual clothes. I always wore jeans. I was, yeah, within reason. I mean, I knew you'd pick up on that. I wore tuxedos to bed, Johnny. Do you understand what I'm saying?
And you were never nude?
No. No, I'm not a never nude.
You love being nude. How would you describe your feeling towards being nude, Johnny?
I wouldn't say it's something I look forward to. I'll give you that. I wouldn't say you're seeing me at my best, but
I completely agree. My naked body is a disgrace. So you bought the robe. What made you? What inspired these purchases? Then what?
It's coming up to Christmas. It's not coming up to Christmas, but like my work year is winding down somewhat.
You've just got a robe to lie.
I've just decided I want to just relax so hard. I'm wearing slippers right now. I've never owned a pair of slippers in my life. That is not
I've
a
never
joke.
Owned a pair of slippers.
I've never owned a pair of slippers. I'm wearing them right now. It's starting to get cold in my flat. And I'm like, right, I'm getting up. I'm cold. What am I doing? There's people out there with dressing gowns. They're living the life of Riley. I act like dressing gowns are like this incredible, like what a sense of the upper crust wear dressing gowns. So I went out there. I bought a bathrobe. I bought a dressing gown. I bought slippers, new socks. I was going to buy pyjamas, but genuinely, I think my wife would have left me if I'd spent that much on myself in a day.
I mean, you deserve to spend that much money. You're bringing on the bacon. Why not spend some of that bacon on comfort?
It was very stressful, though. I've got to say, it was Well, I was in M&S.
Of course.
I'm trying on various bathrobes. I've gone au naturel to try them on.
People on their stilts try to pass you the clothing.
Do you know what, Johnny? Do you know what? Can we just leave it this time?
Sold.
I'm not that tall.
You're not that tall. You're just a normal man.
Do you know what? Actually, weirdly, I was going to order this stuff off online, and I thought, I have a feeling I'm extra large and not large, and it's going to upset me if I order large and it's too small. But actually, a large was fine.
Was it? Well, that's good.
Yeah, because I'm not a freak, so just don't worry about it.
You're not a freak. I think the listeners, really, truly, it's really important. Sean's not a freak. We must remember that when we're talking to him or dealing with him in any way.
I hate this podcast so much.
So I don't even...
Do you have dressing gowns? Do you have bathrobes? Do you have anything like that? Do you wear pyjamas?
No, I have pyjamas.
Okay.
But I don't have... And what's the difference between a dressing gown and a bathrobe?
I don't know. I think one of them you get wet and one of them you don't.
That would make sense.
One of them is just a towel.
Do you think you ever have a point when you get out of your bathrobe straight into your dressing gown? Because that feels like quite a luxurious sort of...
That is exactly how I want to be living, basically, from the end of November till February 2023.
I love it.
That's all I want. And so, so that's a very mature thing. I do worry it's the sort of beginning of my decline. Like, I still look at myself as like a hip young party goer.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I am delusional. I am delusional. But
you go to a lot of music, though, don't you?
I go to music, yeah.
Yeah. Even the way I said that, the way I said you go to a lot of music, it's like a 70-year-old who's like, what? You go to a lot of music, though, so you are young.
You go to a lot of the hip-hop concerts? So I would strongly recommend it. I'd strongly recommend get yourself down there to TK Maxx or Marks & Spencer's. Get on a dressing gown.
Do you think it's improved your life?
Well, I've had it for about 12 hours. So, but it actually has... This morning I woke up, I put my little cold toes into a lovely warm slipper, and I popped on my little dressing gown, and I looked in the mirror, and I thought, yeah, today is going to be a good day, actually.
I think we should do brand failing better nightwear.
I think do you know what? I'm really glad you said that, Johnny. I think we should do nightwear. I think we should do Victorian style nightdresses.
Yeah.
With little hats like Scrooge.
I love it.
Maybe branded like, what are they called? Like candle holders.
I don't know what they are.
Those little candle holders that Scrooge has.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think they are called candle holders, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we do that, and I think we can have, I think if I was to ever wear a dressing gown, I'd pretend to be a wizard for at least a little bit. Because I feel like that's the sort of clothes wizards wear. Mm. So maybe we can have some sort of wizard, like, something wizardy. Do you want to help me, Sean?
I'm happy to let you finish this sentence, Johnny. I'm happy to let you just finish this thought.
Yeah, I mean, have something wizardy. Like a wizard. The only thing I realised when I started talking about wizards and cloaks and stuff is it does sound a bit like the KKK. Which I think we should steer away from.
I think we should have white cloaks branded with failing better. You're failing better white cloaks.
Yeah.
That'd be good. And we could have like a big T for time to podcast. And families can burn those to stay warm in the winter.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. I mean, that's what we should do. We should claim back the KKK hood and make it for Failing Better Pod.
I would say most of society would listen and go, that's actually less respectful. like it's a shame that the KKK hood has been degraded like this by being associated with Failing Better.
It's everyone's favourite podcast, including the Grand Wizard of the... What are they called? They're also really weird, the heads of KKK.
They have Grand Wizard, Grand Dragon.
Grand Dragon. It feels so childish. Like, it's so peculiar to me that such hatred was sort of so intertwined with such a silly name.
I don't really know much about the old KKK, you know?
I just know they were bad and...
They are. They're still going.
And they're still bobbing around.
Yeah, I mean, I think their numbers are very, very low now.
Well, I guess the KKK is such old racism that now there's like new racism. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like the ideas are still
like Matrix racism. Like,
yeah.
Sitting underground, like typing into a laptop, listening to Fatboy Slim, like do 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 do. Yeah, and someone looks at you and just goes, this ain't your daddy's racism. Bam, 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 like that.
I love it. I love it. I love what you're saying. I love where you're going. I think we've gone down a wormhole.
I think we have as well. What have you been up to, Johnny? Speaking of worms going into the hole, what have you been up to?
I don't really see how this refers to worms anywhere. I've been to London. Didn't see you.
You
Sorry
didn't see me.
That.
Don't worry about it. Did you consider sending me a message at all? Or?
The problem was, I was going down there for George Zach's birthday. George Zach, a very funny man.
Comedian. Greek.
Funny looking. Am I right? No, he's quite handsome, actually. And he said I was a bad friend to him, Sean.
Because was I never he being serious?
Yeah, he sent me a message like, Johnny, you never get in touch with me anymore. What is going on? And I felt really...
Is that your impression of him?
Yeah.
Because hey. You are a bad friend. Take the halloumi out of your mouth, George.
Yeah, you Greek freak. Anyway, he got in touch with me and was like, I think you're a bad friend. So then I travelled all the way down to London for his birthday. I was the only one hanging out with him, and he did 4 gigs. And it turned out he'd just been in Manchester earlier on in the week. So I could have got a tram to see him instead of spending £100 on train fare to go down and see him do 4 gigs. And he kept going, Johnny, I've made so much money today. And I was like, great. So I felt like I needed to be with George. That's why I didn't get in contact with you, Sean.
No, I appreciate that. And do you feel like this has taught you something about friendship, about the nature of friendship?
Yeah.
What do you think you've learnt about where you went wrong and where you went right?
I think where I went right was I made a bold, audacious move to try and help my friendship with George. Mm-hmm. Where I went wrong was not asking him more plans on what was going to happen during the day. And also not saying to him, are you going to be or have you been in Manchester anytime recently? So I wouldn't have to get the train down to see you.
I mean, I think if you're sent a message from a guy saying you've been a bad friend recently, you haven't had any contact, and your first response is, have you been or are you going to be in Manchester?
Well, he'd been there for like a week. Yeah, I got done, he went, I've just been in Manchester for the last week. I was like, well, what the fuck are we doing here then? Like, what the fuck? Why have I taken a 3-hour train journey to come and see you in London if you've been where I live for the past week?
And so you went around all of George's gigs. Did you then have a night out? Did you get to enjoy pints in London town?
Yeah, we went to, we tried to get into Heaven and we didn't have ID, so we ended up going to another club till 3 a.m.
Wow, that's actually almost a very satirical comment.
About why? What?
The real Heaven. Imagine that.
Oh, God. And do you think you'd go to Heaven, Sean? You're a Catholic, aren't you? So probably.
You asked that in the last episode. It's fucking weird. It's weird that you've asked that 2 episodes in a row.
What did you say in the last episode?
I said I don't know.
All right. You're not, Sean. You're not.
Oh, sorry, I just got getting
that's
a phone call.
That's why you're not. Who is it?
I've no idea. Unknown number.
Get him on Saint, the pod.
Probably St. Peter. So get him on the pod.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that. All right. Sorry, I'm just going to put that on mute. So wait, you tried to get into Heaven, the nightclub.
The nightclub, and we didn't have IDs. Can you think my face would be an ID? Because like, if I'm 17, what the fuck has happened to me?
Yeah, I think they were being kind to you both. I think, oh yeah, you need an ID. I think they were being kind to both of you. Because yeah, Heaven's a very slick, cool, like gay club for like very handsome, very cool members of the LGBT plus.
Which is why I thought I would fit in. But there's when you go in London. London's a shit night out. I think. Would you agree with that?
I would not agree with that at all.
Because in Manchester, if you like get you this. Everywhere's open till 3 or 4 a.m. In London, nowhere's open past like midnight.
That's one thing I definitely agree with you with. London, in the centre, is really hard after midnight.
It's
really
shit.
Hard. You do need to know where to go. I mean, I do know a few places to go, but actually outside
of... course you do, Sean. You're Sean McLaughlin. You're just in Soho House.
Yeah, they keep places open. They go, we were meant to close an hour ago, but for you, we risk the fines. I go, thank you very much.
As expected.
I'll have 2 chicken and chip, please, sir.
What's your doner meat like?
I'll have a can of the House Fanta. No, but actually, regional London, or not regional, but neighbourhoods is much better. Is like it? round where we are, or like Stockwell, Brixton, there are usually a few late night places. But London is shit. Like definitely compared to the rest of the UK and the rest of the world, London is pretty poor in terms of after 12 o'clock, it's hard.
Do you think that's just because rent's so high? Or like what? On like licensing?
I have no idea. I think it's a mixed cultural thing. Licensing is probably a big.
Because even Soho, in my head, Soho is like the wildest place in the UK. It's like, you know, and then you go and then it's shut by midnight.
Yeah, there are places I know in Soho that are open very late, but I wouldn't want to say them on the pod in case the bloody Rozzers shut them down.
Are they meant to be shut down? Are they licensed then?
One of them is licensed and one of them is absolutely illegal. One of them is just in someone's house.
I love the idea of you at an illegal rave, Sean. In your slippers, your robe.
Hello, can I have a hot toddy, please?
How often do you go to illegal raves, Sean?
Well, it's not an illegal rave. I wouldn't say it's a rave. It's just a bar where they sell cans of garlic.
How often do you go to bars that sell cans of garlic?
Every fucking night. Every fucking night, Johnny. It's where I learn all of my political opinions. It is a shame that. It's a shame you didn't get to heaven, but I suppose it's your fault for not having ID. Why didn't you have ID with you, Johnny?
Well, I didn't want to take my passport, and I've got a provisional driving license. But I'm learning how to drive, Sean. So that's not happening yet, but it's going to happen soon.
Okay, wait. We are definitely talking about that. What do you mean? So you didn't have your provisional with you?
No. But I just thought my face is... I think in Manchester, I never get ID. Because I'm an old...
I'm very surprised you were ID'd.
Yeah,
I'm very surprised you were ID'd. And I do think they were just trying to find a convenient way of not letting you in. Had you shat yourself or something? Is there some element of the story?
Obviously, there was shit in my pants. I mean, I just thought that went without saying. But they said it's because they want... I think it's to stop crime somehow.
We can't let Johnny Pelham in here. Or all hell will break loose. All these men will be falling on top of themselves to get to him.
That is a problem I have. Mm. I'm just too sexy for my own good.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's a place in Stockwell called The Swan, and I was talking about it last night, actually, to someone. Apparently, it's like a big Irish barn bar. It's open till 4 a.m. every night. And apparently, it's brilliant in the sense that it's absolutely awful and unbearable, and I really want to go soon.
You should go. That sounds very fun.
Yeah, there's a couple of places, actually, around the corner from me now that have started opening very late on the weekend. Like,
that's
very
interesting.
Late. Like, do you think... The Hamlet is opening very late. Porky's Wine Bar has always opened very late, like 24 hours, but... It's not for people like me, Porky's Wine Bar.
What? Who's it for?
It feels like it's not for the white people.
Oh, really?
Is that a... I mean, I'm not... I don't think that's a horrible thing to say.
What do you think would happen if you went in there? Do you think you'd get,
probably
how quickly
nothing.
Would you get
I don't think anything. I don't think anything would happen.
You think you'd get called a cracker?
We were once told... Well, I was once told that in an Uber. They went, that place is not for you.
By someone who'd been
driver,
there?
By the driver.
Was he black?
Yeah.
Right. I think you should go in there. I think that's what the first failing better, like social, should be in there.
It is really cool. I always look in there. I always get very confused.
Let's go in.
All right, next time you're down in London, we'll go to Pork. We'll have a night out in... I've sort of given away where I live there.
I don't think it matters.
I try. I don't...
I mean, this is everyone's favourite podcast. I mean, not ill feeling or ill will towards him.
Yeah, soon there's going to be a failing better walking tour around South London. They go to the Swan, Porky's. Of course, the legendary Chicken Cottage, open late for sure.
It's peculiar. You live really close to where I used to live. Well, not that close, but relatively close in London.
Yeah, very close. Yeah.
How peculiar. We've been to the same haunts.
The same old haunts.
Which are sadly years apart.
Well, I used to live around the corner from you when you still lived there. I used to go around your house a lot.
I know, but we never didn't we ever hang out sober when we were both in London together?
I think we had a few coffees. I don't think we hung out, but not many sober. It wasn't a very sober time in both of our lives.
No, that is true.
I remember a lot of times just ending up in your house and just not knowing what the fuck was going to happen. And there were like people there who I literally had never heard of talking to me like we were best friends. I was like, what is going on?
It was such a weird house. There was a guy
Have you ever talked about that old house? It's a legendary... It's a legendary comedian's house that you lived in Streatham.
Every time I talk to people and they find out I live in that house, one person said, I'm probably in that house, you have to shit in the garden. And that was just something you believed about where I lived. You thought,
It has become sort of mythic on the circuit, this house.
It was a fun house. It was a sort of...
Explain it to the listeners. Yeah.
Basically, it was a house where the rent was £250 a month, which in London is like insanely cheap.
Yeah.
No one knew why it was so cheap. And all we knew is we couldn't complain about anything because we assumed the landlord and estate agents had just forgotten about it.
Yeah.
So we just like put the money in people's accounts and... If anything broke, we could never tell anyone about it. And then,
and crucially, none of you had the gumption to fix it or attempt.
None of us tried to fix it ever. So it was a falling apart house. And then no one knew.
A beautiful old build. The thing is, it was actually a beautiful. Like, was it detached?
Yeah. Like,
it was a beautiful house. It had like a garden. It was like on a lovely street. It was just like it's like Animal House in there.
We were dragging the property prices down by so much. And no one knew who the original person who was in the house was. No one knew who the fuck anyone was, or like how we'd come to get this house. And Bobby Mayer had just moved in, who's like a very funny comedian, had just moved in all his mates in, and so it was just
Bobby was. It felt like Bobby was like the first of the new generation of comedians.
I think
he was the linchpin who got a lot of people.
And there was a guy called Racist Benny who would come on Tuesday and just bring everyone free cocaine. Tuesday, just a man. And he would just bring us free cocaine. And that's not... You're never going to get your life together if you've got someone bringing you free cocaine on a Tuesday.
I lived around the corner. I was living in sort of Tooting Beck, but on the border of Streatham and Tooting Beck. And I was living with like two professional women. And then they'd be like, where are you going? I'm just going around my mate's house. And I would like crawl back in at like 4 a.m. One of them was getting up for work. I was just such a joke to these people.
But the thing is, everyone in that house had depression. It was too hedonistic and mad. But afterwards, we all realised we were all fucked. But in the time, it was just so much fun. It was a very fun house.
Yeah, it's a good part of town as well. Like, there's a lot of cafe. I think we used to go to Boyce a lot. We used to go to Boyce the Rocker, me and you.
I love Boyce the Rocker. That was when I first fell in love with expensive eggs in Boyce the Rocker.
You always remember where you fell in love with expensive eggs?
Because I would be like, walked in like £10 for an egg. Who the fuck would pay that? And then about 3 months later, I was like, gotta go to Boyce for my eggs.
You know, it's closed now, unfortunately.
I know, that's very sad. That's a real
It's been replaced, though, by a nice...
By something similar.
By basically up at the exact same place.
Yeah,
run
Boyce was it was
people.
It was the beginning of gentrification around that area, wasn't it?
Yes, I would say so. And my moving in was the end of gentrification.
Well, eventually the property owners came because the house got shut. I think basically the people who owned it came back and they knocked on the door and one of our flatmates was there just in his like underwear. And this like African family just came up, what have you done to my house? Why are you not at work? And he was just like,
so you finally met the landlord?
I didn't. I was out by that point. But
well, that was always the rumour, was that he lived in another country and he was dead.
I think what happened was he... Well, one of his family... They were definitely African heritage, came back and were fuming.
Like West African.
Yeah. And they were fuming with what had happened to the house. Because, I mean, we'd fucked it.
It's not like they were active landlords. That, like, I do think eventually, like, it's not all on you.
I mean,
if you've had years and years of tenants not knowing who their landlord is, and you've kept taking money from them, and you've never checked in on the place, and you've never sent anyone to investigate it, it isn't all on the tenants.
No, 100%. And I mean, we it was a fun house. I'm really glad I lived it, because now I have no sense.
Johnny,
I didn't really
cry.
No, I was burping.
it felt like you were getting very sort of stirred up by memories of this horrible den that you used to live in.
Horrible den. And then the worst thing was when we came in, there was just a mammal-sized shit on the settee. That was a real sad low point. That was like a week one.
When you say mammal-sized, you mean the size that a mammal would do? Or do you mean it was the size of a mammal?
The size a mammal would do. I'd say definitely no...
You know, a human is a mammal.
Yeah, that's what, because it could have been a human shit. That's what's still up for grabs, really. So either one of
what else could it have been? What other mammals? Oh, a fox.
Yeah, there was a fox that you used to. I think the fox quite enjoyed the house. And sort of thought it was his house as well.
Sure. This makes a lot of sense.
Oh god, it was a fun time though. Fun time to be alive.
Wow. We should go. We should put that. We can put that on the walking tour. Maybe we should do that. We'll do a failing better walking tour around South London.
You can go to one of our favourite hangouts, and we might be in there one day. And you could
be in there. We almost certainly won't be.
You might be. If it's plausible, you and me.
Yes, I still live around there. Still live there, bobbing and weaving, popping around the old South London. No complaints.
Let's have a meta chat, Sean, about how the podcast is going. Do you think it's better without the self... Is this shit?
Is this shit? Here it is.
Is this shit section of the
podcast. I think this might be shit. But I don't think it's any shitter than if we had a structure.
I know what you mean.
Do you want me to get my random number generator out?
I want nothing less than that, Sean.
Okay, because it's always, just to let you know, it's always there as an option. That's to you too, listeners. failingbetterpod@gmail.com if you like the random number generator.
Some feedback would be helpful here, actually, genuinely, listeners. Do you enjoy the loose, structureless format, or would you like more structure?
We've got structure. We've got structure. We had a chat before about the things you want to talk about. You said that dogs can talk.
Yeah, we did a list.
You said dogs can talk. You want to talk about that?
I do want to talk about that. So, according to AI, they're trying to do AI at the moment.
Who's AI? AI?
Scientists are using AI to try and decipher different tones and pitches in noise that animals make. And with one day the hope of having like a Google Translate system to be able to, so say your dog woofs, it'd go, that's the pitch, that's the tone, and be able to chat to your dog.
Do you believe that?
I am curious as to whether animals can communicate. My recording has stopped. Oh, what the fuck?
Mine hasn't.
Do we need to? We don't really, do we?
No, we don't need to.
All right, great. Sean's
by the way, listeners, please just give us a 5-star review on iTunes, please, and sign up to the Patreon.
Please, the Patreon's really all the good stuff goes there.
Yeah. Patreon.com/failingbetter. By the way, if you want to sign up, and it is really good. You get extra stuff every day, every week, every day if you choose to repeat listening to some of the stuff.
And you should.
Yeah.
So I wonder if dogs, when they bark or like are communicating in some form of way, and I presume they must be. But what do you think about that?
I think they are. I think they're communicating something to us, but I don't think we want to know what it is.
Well, that's my fear. I'd hate if my dog turned out to be a real dick.
I reckon your dog is a homophobe.
Well, yeah, or like, you know.
Sexist,
get this Jewish guest at my house. I'm like, whoa, whoa.
Why are we trying to communicate with animals?
Because I mean, why?
How would that be lovely? What are we going to achieve by communicating with animals?
Sean,
what are they saying? They're not going to say anything good, are they? They're not going to be Look, admittedly, me and you are sort of on that level, intellectually and in terms of conversation.
I mean, if my
most people don't want to talk to us, they're not going to talk to a pigeon.
But wouldn't it be good if my dog was able to say, "I love you, John"? That would make me so happy.
Why?
Because that's all I want them to think. So really, let's be honest about this dog. I've stolen her from her mum, sort of trapped her in my house and feed her. So she...
You need confirmation that Stockholm Syndrome is truly set in.
Yeah, I just want the dog to go, "John, I love you and I'm glad you made all those decisions," which probably seem quite horrifying when you talk about them logically.
That's what you want your dog to... You want your dog to say, "John, I love you and I'm really glad with all the decisions you made."
Yeah.
I think what you want is a mum.
No, I want it from my dog. I want my dog to say, "John, I'm glad you stole me from my mum."
I don't think we'll ever get to the bottom of what these fucking idiots are on about. Especially dogs. Dogs are so dumb.
Take that back. My dog's the smartest mammal in any room.
Anywhere with your house.
You put it in a room with me and fucking Stephen King, and my dog's clever.
Is that your idea of a really intelligent person?
Stephen King.
You and Stephen King.
Stephen King has wrote some exceptional novels. Me, Stephen King, and my dog Lilo. My dog Lilo is the cleverest mammal in that room. Every time. On any issue. You can talk to my dog about fucking philosophy. You can talk to them about maths. My dog knows everything.
I would say there's a danger, though, in letting, I would say, the private sector AI... which it probably will be, dictate to the human race what animals are saying, because it will obviously just make it a porn of advertising. And advertisers could just go, "Oh yeah, they're saying buy me this." You need to update your car insurance. Oh, that's a weird thing for my Jack Russell to say. Oh well.
I would hate it.
Jack Russell, do you have any good deals? Ruff, ruff, ruff. Whoa. Comparethemarket.com. That's what it'll be like, won't it? What are you saying, little snake? What are you saying? What? Black Adam out in cinemas now? Okay. Thanks, Snake. I love you too, Snake.
I would.
If all you want is for your dog to say "I love you," then that makes you an extraordinarily vulnerable pawn of the capitalist system, Johnny. Because your dog can say "I love you" and then use that to make you do anything you want.
Sean, do you not know me? Of course I'm extremely vulnerable, Paul.
I know you. I know.
I'm saying you'll be for £10.
You'll be even more vulnerable than I had even dreaded.
But I think I don't want to make myself appear overly intelligent, but I think I'd catch on.
Don't worry. You're not making yourself seem overly intelligent.
If my dog was just talking about how good Starbucks were, I'd eventually be like, "Wait a minute. Maybe my dog isn't the free, authentic being she purports to be. Is that she just a marketing ploy by the multinational corporations?"
But what if Starbucks is what all dogs are talking about?
Well, that's, I mean...
That's the issue.
Yeah. I hope the dog's just thinking, "I've got a good owner, I've got a good life." The thing is,
Do you think they even know what the concept of an owner is?
I'm almost certain they don't. Because dogs won't really have private
property. Do they even know what the concept of a life is? Does your dog know that it's alive?
Yes.
I think your dog, and I don't want to sound too harsh here, is not that different to like a yogurt.
Fuck off. My dog is so much better than a yogurt. My dog is so much in everywhere.
What can it do that a yogurt can't do?
It can look at me and go, "Oh, John, you're so cute." I'm just...
Where is your dog from?
My dog's the greatest dog in the world. And it's better than a yogurt.
All right, how would you feel?
Better than a yogurt factory. My dog is better than a yogurt factory.
It's not better than a yogurt factory.
It's better than a yogurt
Your dog can't unionize.
It can and it will.
That's a good idea for a film. Dogs unionize.
What happens in the film?
They stand up against all their owners and they go, "We're sick of eating out of bowls. We want to eat on the table with the humans. We're sick of being taken for walks on leads. We want to run free."
But how
That'd
do
be
they...
great. And then there's like a dog, Mick Lynch, at the front, and he's like a bulldog. And he's like, oh, I'll tell you something, my members of the dog union have actually been walked over, you know? Give a dog a bone, well, how about give a dog some actual pension plan?
Yeah, and stop picking up our poo. It's a violation.
Also, stop picking up our shit. We find it really disgusting, actually. Why are you doing that? Like, just leave it.
How
it's
do the dogs communicate? Is this after... is it after the AI...
I think this is a really good idea for a film.
So you... Dogs unionised. What's it called? The Dogs Union.
Yeah, Union for Dogs.
And do they... Do dogs like...
It's called Union for Dogs.
And do dogs
Homeward Bound 3, Union... The Dogs Unionise.
I think this is a really good idea. And it can also be a satirical swipe at the corporations ruining this world.
Yeah, yeah. And the humans are like going, what are we supposed to do? We need our dogs. Yeah. And then there's people going, fuck them, we'll get cheaper dogs from China. Fuck, we don't need these fucking dogs. And so you get some people like importing like cheap dogs that can't unionise. And then what's their life like?
It sounds quite harrowing. The more we go into it, the more I realise it'd be quite a dystopian film.
Well, I suppose it would be. But yes, maybe
maybe we get Bill Murray to play one of the dogs so it keeps it a bit light.
Yeah, that he'll keep it light.
Bill Murray keeps everything light. So we've got sort of dogs being sort of treated terribly in factories for some reason. I don't know why the dogs in the factories.
No. I'm not talking about that. No, you got me all wrong. I'm talking about it's the world as we now know it.
Yeah.
But you've got an ownership over a dog. I suppose actually what I'm basically saying is the problem is probably more like an anti-slavery film than a union film. Because basically all dogs who have owners go, right, we're not doing it anymore. Dog union. I'm going to Google this. I think this is what you think your dog's a scab.
My dog, there's no way my dog would leave me. I've given her so many treats.
I think your dog is...
I fed her some steak the other day. She's not leaving. She's not getting a better life.
You fed her steak?
Yeah, just because she was sat looking at me like on the. I just thought, oh, she'd like this more than me.
What about, have you ever heard the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child?
Have you ever heard the phrase, shut the fuck up, Sean?
Almost every hour of my life I hear that phrase. Dog Union, coming soon to cinemas. Ruff, ruff! What's that, Pooch? You want to go see Dog Union? Okay.
I'll never let my dog see that film.
No.
I'll keep her blind to the...
Radicalise it. That's interesting. How would you feel if we watch on TV and it says, but it'd be as big as the moon landing?
Yeah.
If you go, right, we are about to talk to a dog. Humans and dogs are about to interact for the first time ever. And everyone in the world is watching them. And they've got like some poodle out there.
How would I feel?
And they go, okay, do you have anything you want to say to the human race? Poodle? Do you have anything you want to say? And then the poodle just looks out to the camera, looks out at the world, and just goes, my wife! How'd you feel?
I'd feel incredibly disappointed. You
go, wah, wah, wee, wah, yashabesh, I'm a dog, I like a Borat.
So why does he have a Kazakhstani, Kazakhstani accent?
They love Borat.
So all they do
is talk about Borat.
The question you're asking, Sean, is how would I feel if it turned out that all dogs loved Borat?
Yeah, I suppose that is. John,
you know when you Johnny. Know when you said, do we need more structure in this? Without structure, an hour in, the question you're asking me is, well, how would I feel if dogs could speak and they all absolutely love Borat?
What if they all love Borat? And what if every time a dog is barking, every time they just say, put on Borat, put on Borat, put Borat on?
Well, I guess I'd be startled. It would make me reassess Borat's cinematic reputation.
Big time.
And it'd also make me question what dogs were talking about before Borat.
Well, that's how we develop time travel. And they go, we have to figure out what dogs were talking about before it. And then we go back to what, like 1995? And
they just talking about 1995?
Put on Wayne's World! Put on Wayne's World!
So dogs are real cinephiles in your head.
They just like sort of. They just
oh
like.
God, my dog's literally barking downstairs.
You talking about Borat? Borat, Borat, Borat,
Borat. That's crazy timing.
Ruff, 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 I think Borat's about to come on.
Maybe they'd heard me say the word Borat and she'd be like, what? What?
Oh, wowee.
That was good. How long's that been?
I have no idea, JJ.
You've never called me JJ before.
I don't know why I would call you JJ.
My second name is Jonathan James.
Your second name is Jonathan James. Your name is Jonathan James Pelham.
No, it's Jonathan James Pelham.
So your second, I can call you JJ.
Yeah, call me JJ.
That's like if we ever get into morning radio, it'd be cool. Yeah. It won't be called Johnny and Sean, it'd be called JJ and the Streak. I'll be the Streak.
Why are you the Streak? Because you're tall. And thin.
Yeah, Streak of piss, innit?
Yeah.
God, I hope I am still thin. I'm going to Mexico next week. I'm not going to be thin after that.
What? Are you looking forward to Mexico? That's you in a hat is very funny.
What?
You in a little sombrero.
I'm not going there just for a hat.
You've got to wear a hat.
It's a big part of it.
Of course it is. If I was going to Mexico, the main thing I think is I'm going to wear a hat. So
right, we'll talk about this and then we'll end this pod. I am going to Mexico.
What part of Mexico?
Cancun.
Ooh.
Which is a very sort of touristy, Americanized part for a bit. And then we're going to like another part.
How long are you going for?
I'm going for a week.
And what are you planning to do?
We are going to an Indian wedding in Mexico.
What the fuck?
We're going to like a Sikh wedding, 5 days.
Why are they doing it in Mexico? I guess they can do what they want, but
because
I don't mean that.
One of them is Canadian.
Yeah.
And one of them is Australian.
Isn't the world multicultural now? I mean, that wouldn't have happened before they invented flights.
Is this shit, Johnny?
That was the shittiest thing I've said for a while.
What do you mean they wouldn't have done... This would never have happened before.
That's the most multicultural... One's Canada, one's Australia.
Yeah, Canada with Indian parents.
Yeah, Australian with... Is the Australian white?
Yeah.
And is the white... Has a white person converted to Sikhism?
No, I don't think so.
And so are they having an actual Indian wedding or are they just having a...
No, it's a Sikh... It's a 5-day full thing. I had to buy what they call pata pajama. Pata pajama?
What is that?
I think it's called pata pajama. It's like Indian like garb to wear one of the
You have to do a tweet.
I love it. It's so cool. Their clothes are so much
better
than ours.
They're much better than ours. They are better
than
ours.
It's so great.
Yeah.
So I'm going there. I'm excited. I mean, I've never done anything like this. I've never done anything remote. I've never been to a destination wedding. I've never been to like a wedding.
I've never done that either.
I've never done anything like this. I mean, it's costing enough.
It's quite arrogant of the family to say, fly out to Mexico, I think.
Well, I guess it makes sense because they didn't want to do it in either of their home nations.
Yeah. But why not just do it in the UK where you live?
Yeah, it's a bit arrogant to make me go.
Yeah, I think
me,
so.
The husband of the wife who knows them.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I think we should build this entire wedding around Sean McLaughlin. Who's Sean McLaughlin? Ever heard of Feeling Better?
Feeling Better. Maybe we can do the commentary for the wedding.
What commentary? What do you mean the commentary?
we can comment on the wedding.
What, the director's commentary?
Yeah.
It's not fucking WWE. They don't have like, oh shit, here she comes.
Has he forgotten the ring? He has.
The wife's crying. Oh my god. Oh, Sean's doing a breakdance to try and cheer them up.
We've got a premise for the wacky rom-com.
The dogs the dogs want Borat. They want Borat.
Shut up, dogs. This is a lovely moment.
So I'm very excited about that. Very excited to be just another one of the hombres out there in Mexico.
You're going to get mugged in Mexico.
I think I'm going to get dragged into some hardcore Ozark shit.
I love the idea. The idea of you just walking around being in Mexico is somehow hilarious.
Yeah, it is pretty dumb. It's pretty dumb. Yeah. It's pretty dumb. I've done next to no research as well. I mean, it's a fucking joke.
I just imagine you bumping into cactus all the time. That's just why I'm listening. Woo!
Well, I think a lot of that probably stems from your view of Mexico, which seems to just be a Speedy Gonzales cartoon.
I think it might be, actually.
Like, it is like an advanced country with, like, roads and infrastructure.
I know.
It's not just, like, dirt towns and...
The country's advanced, but you're not. You'll find the
country. I will drag the country back 100 years. Yeah. I appreciate that. Very excited to go. Very excited to go. For the wedding, we're staying in an all-inclusive place. I've never stayed all-inclusive before.
Is the alcohol free?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to get shit for sure.
I'm going to fuck this up. I'm going to
fuck this up. My tour ends on the Saturday. On the Sunday, I fly. It's over.
Yeah, you might be dead.
I might be dead. This might be the last ever episode of the podcast.
I've never done all of them because I can't, like you know, so you think you're funny. That, you know, there's some parties in Edinburgh where you get, like, free drinks. Mm. I just get smashed at them. And they're always where, like, the industry is. And I always just make such a tit of myself.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything. I'm pretty disciplined these days with stuff. I've got to say, I'm pretty good with stuff like that. Though this Christmas, I'm planning to have the wettest December since.
Can I just say, wet December sounds disgusting.
Yeah, it does sound a bit. I meant it in a sort of boozy sense. I'm coming to Manchester for a bit, so
when?
I don't know. We'll talk about this. All right. But we're not recording.
Yeah. Let's meet up. We can do loads of pictures.
Well, I tell you what, we could do a walking tour in Manchester.
Oh, I can show you all the rabbit holes I go to.
That would be lovely. Yeah. All the rabbit holes you go down. Yeah. And here I am, a little Alice in Johnny Pelham's proverbial wonderland.
And let me tell you, it's pretty scary. You lose yourself.
Oh, God, it's just...
Anyway, is this shit?
It is shit. Anyway, welcome back to the pod, listeners. This is the second of the Welcome Back Eps. It's a pleasure talking to you again.
It's lovely talking to you. And I hope
I'm talking to the listeners. I'm not talking to you.
Well, you're not talking to them. I mean, you're talking to me.
Yeah, I'm talking to them through you.
Yeah, but you're talking to me more. I'd say you're 80% talking to me and 20% talking to them.
Well, it's nice to talk to you again as well,
Johnny. The only difference between talking to me is that you've just edited 20% of what you'd normally say. So that it's airable. That's the only difference.
I wouldn't say I'm that kind of guy. Well, I think we should just wrap this one up. We'll see you next Tuesday, listeners.
Like a present, let's wrap it up and pop it under the tree.
Okay. Is there, like, a course you could go on to, like, learn how to have a conversation?
I slept very badly today. I think the podcast has been impacted by my lack of sleep.
Fair enough. Do subscribe. Do keep listening. Listen to old episodes. If this is your first time listening to the show, listen to all the old episodes. They are pretty good. They're pretty funny. We talk about self-help in the early ones, and then it kind of all goes off the rails.
And let us know if you do want self-help back, or if you think... Just let us know how you found this new app. Do you like the free-form jazz that we're doing?
Or would you prefer more structured jazz built around a traditional three-bar blues or something?
Yeah, let us know. What are your opinion on jazz?
Email us.
At feelingbetterpod@gmail.com.
Got it in one, Johnny.
Well, hey.
Follow the Patreon, or sign up to the Patreon for as little as £3 a month.
£3 a month.
You could help the podcast. You can get loads of extra content. You can be first on the list for cool stuff like live tickets. We're going to do online shows. We've got a lot. We've got less on our plate now. Yeah. So we're going to dedicate more time to you, the average listener.
Although I should say, my plate's filling up a bit.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, what's going on with your plate?
I just got a few other things... In the old pipeline.
Well, there we go then. Well, it's been a good run. We've had two episodes back. See you in 2 months, I suppose. Now we'll see you next week, everyone. Thank you so much.
Bye. And God bless the Chinese. Good people.
Good people.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.